service about. That was awesome. Amen. And she's going to be on the permanent list. That's beautiful. Amen. Love that song. And that touched my heart. Brother Leland's going to sing with her next time. We're looking forward to that. Amen. He don't pick a guitar, but he's going to use the welding arcs to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I couldn't think of Brother Ray King's name because I looked down here and I thought this was the person that's supposed to pray for the offering. I looked at Randy Cook and I looked over. I was like, I can't even think of Brother Ray's name now. I'm looking at Randy Cook. So sorry, Brother Ray. Sorry. Forgive me. Well, tonight, Brother Dickerson's going to come preach to us. Amen, brother. And we appreciate them, our children's director, and we're so glad that they're here at our church.
To 2 Chronicles. I'm not on. 2 Chronicles 7:34. In the Bible, Josiah, and we're going to draw some lessons from his life tonight, and I'll kind of introduce myself. Some of you know me a little bit. You've worked with me a little in children's church and junior church and some of those things. But we actually moved to Fort Worth from Decatur. My wife and I, we were serving there at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Decatur for the last 11 years. About 20-something years ago, the Lord called me to preach as a teenager. And he's allowed me opportunities as associates in different places, a couple of different churches. And I am very excited about being here. And I thank you folks for being so friendly and loving my family and welcoming us. And I'm very excited to be here. So I thank you for that. I was saved as a kid. I was a bus kid. And I grew up in a home. My father was an alcoholic, and the Lord saved me and put me in a Christian school and allowed me to have the privilege to serve Him. And I tell you, I just feel blessed to be here, to be able to serve Him. And the Lord called me to preach, and again, I just thank the Lord for that. So in chapter 34, I want to draw some lessons here from young Josiah. And I guess we could title this message tonight, Lessons from a Young King. Let's read the first 7 verses there. And then we're going to go sort of toward the end of Josiah's life and see why would we want to draw a lesson from Josiah. Oh, is it not?
Can we switch here?
Yeah. All right, that one's on. Okay, all right. So let's look at there, verse number 1. The Bible says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. I want to just kind of stop there for a minute before we get too far down the line. I love the way God chooses simple things, weak things, through which to show His power. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that not many mighty, not many wise, after the flesh, not many noble are called. And that way God gets the glory. I think even about Paul there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9, he says that Christ's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so we're coming to this story here. Josiah's dad, Amon, was a wicked man. In fact, some of the servants in the kingdom had conspired against him and had him killed. And his dad was Manasseh. And Manasseh started off bad and rebelled against God, but then he repented and turned back to God. But his son Amon was a wicked man and killed. But the people came and made Josiah king. He was 8 years old. Can you imagine that? Becoming king at 8 years old. But God takes this young man, and let's go ahead over to chapter 35. Let's look at verse number 18. Let's see what God says about Josiah. He takes this young man, makes him king at 8 years old, and uses his young life for his glory. In the process of the story, we're going to learn they found a book, the Word of God. And wow, they had lost the Word of God. They found the book in the house of God. And they kept the Passover. And look at verse 18 in chapter 35, and it says, there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel, way back there, before the first king of Israel. From the days of Samuel the prophet, neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. And all the priests and Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept. They had a revival. This was a tremendous service, this Passover that they kept. in the life of Josiah. We could go back in the story, and I'm just going to go back there and read it. You can turn there if you like. Also, it's recorded in 2 Kings 23. And here's what else the Bible has to say about him. In verse 25, it says, "And like unto him, was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses? Neither after him arose there any like him." That's the kind of guy we might learn something from. That's the kind of guy God blessed, put his hand on, and used him. So let's look and see what happened. Now let's go back to 34, chapter 34. I could have preached tonight out of 2 Kings, but I was here when the Lord stirred my heart about this message. And God, not only did He use a young man, but He also used right before Judah went into captivity, this revival took place. I mean, it was his son was captured by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they went into captivity. So right before that happened, there was a little place of revival in the life in the nation of Judah. Israel had already gone into Syrian captivity, and now here we are in Josiah's life. So let's pick up there. It says Josiah was 8 years old in the first verse. In the second verse, he says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left." You know, I think about the way God has done things. He used a little virgin girl, Mary, to bring the Savior into the world. He used fishermen to be disciples and bring about the church. He used David, a shepherd boy, and a slingshot, to kill Goliath. God used a man that couldn't speak well, Moses, and he picked up a stick. And think about how God used that stick. He parted the Red Sea and the water turned to blood and all those things. God used very simple things. And Jesus, you think about Jesus, He was born in a manger. He wasn't born in a palace, just in a simple place, in a barn where the animals eat. Jesus was born. And God chooses today sinners like you and I to carry out the Great Commission. Man, that way God gets the glory. It's God's power that does God's work. It's not us. It's not the flesh. That way we can't look at self and say, "Look what I've done." God chooses the simple things, the weak things, to show His power. And so you might think that an 8-year-old boy would make some serious mistakes. But he didn't. He chose a different path than his dad. And he decided, you know what, I don't have to live like this. I think the Lord, when we get saved, we don't have to live the way that we used to live. God can give you power. No matter where you are, where you came from, where you grew up, what your family's like, God can change your life and you can live for Him. And so Josiah is one of those people in the Bible that's evidence of what God can do with a young man that makes the right decision. So let's look in his life now. Just let's draw some lessons. And we're going to look at verses 2 through 7. And first of all, I want to talk about some choices. Choices. Our lives are about the choices that we make. And we have to choose wisely if we want God to bless us. He made some wise choices. First of all, in verse 2, it says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Regardless of who patted him on the back, regardless of who was pleased with him, he said, "You know what? I'm going to set out to please God. I want to set out to do what God wants me to do." You know, I think there's a culture, a whole mindset, a paradigm we have today that God was created to please us. And we want to tell God how to be God. "God, why didn't you do this? And why did you do that? And if I'm not going to serve a God like, if my God was like that, I wouldn't serve Him." But wait a minute. God wasn't put here to please me. I was created for God's pleasure. In Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11, it says, "All things were created for God's pleasure." I'm not here even really, I think God wants us to be happy, but I'm not put here to be happy or to be necessarily wealthy. I don't think there's anything wrong with that or necessarily even successful in the things I want to do. I was put here by my Creator to please Him. Wise decision. Josiah said, "You know what? I think life's all about pleasing God." Good choice. Good choice. So the first thing he did is he chose to please God. And it says, and he walked in the ways of David his father and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. He decided, you know what? There's all kinds of new things that come along and all kinds of new religions and all kinds of activity. But I think I'll just stay with the same God David my father had. I think I'll just stay with the same book. I'll stay with the Bible. I'll stay with the truth. In fact, here he didn't. All he had was remnants and what he was told of the Bible. We're going to see that in a minute. But he decided to walk in the ways of David, his father. And then he chose, oh, this is good. Look at verse 3. "For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young," very important part right there, "while he was yet young, He was 16. He began to seek after the God of David, his father. He made a choice to seek to know God. You say, what does that mean? He made a choice to seek God. He sought to know who God is, and he sought to know what God's will was. Has there ever been a time in your life when you just stop? I know what I've been told. I know what I think. But you just sought God's face. God, would you reveal yourself to me? I'm not talking about seeing God with our eyes or seeing a 900-foot Jesus or something like that. But just stopping and saying, Lord, would you show me who you are and what your will for me is? Man, God will do it. God will do it. What a great day in the life of a Christian when they decide, you know what, Lord, I'm going to seek your face. I want you to speak to me. I want you to mold me into what you want me to be. That's a great day. It's a great day when you get saved. Man, what a great day when your sins are washed away and you know for sure you're on your way to heaven. But there's a great day, a peace that overcomes a Christian when we say, you know what, I'm going to seek God. That's what we were created to do. It's to seek God's face and to know Him and to know His will. Not seeking who you made God to be, or thinking I'm going to serve God the way I think I should serve God, but stop and say, God, what do you want? Who are you? What do you really want for me in my life? And so he chose not only to please God, he chose to walk in the ways of David and to seek God, but he chose to get rid of the false gods. He had a house clean. Verses 4 through 7, it says, and they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down. And the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces and made dust of them. Sounds like he was serious. He made dust out of them. And he strewed it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed to them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon the altar, upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so he did in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into the powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. And I just realized I did not open up a prayer, so I'm going to go ahead and do that, and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you bless this message and your word. And Father, we pray that you would teach us something about you. Father, I pray tonight that you would use it, Lord, to convict the word of God. Lord, that you'd use it to encourage us. Lord, build us up and make us into what you want us to be. Lord, I pray tonight if there's someone here that's not saved, they don't know you, they've never turned to you in faith, trusting you. I pray, Father, that you would speak to their hearts. Father, they'd make the right decision tonight. God, I pray that you'd help me and use me. And Father, this is a new place and I'm a little nervous tonight, but I just pray that you would use me and use your word. Lord, as you promised in Isaiah 55, that your word would never return void. Father, we believe that. We trust in you tonight. And we just ask you to bless the rest of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we started out, he made some wise choices. And he decided to get rid of the false gods. See, here's the thing. God wanted preeminence in the nation of Israel. And Israel had a problem. Every time they would get, things were going good, and boy, they had land, and the wars kind of died off, and God had blessed them and taken good care of them, and the crops were growing, and the animals were healthy, and you know what they'd do? They'd make false gods, and they'd fall off into idolatry. And it just over and over and over throughout the nation of Israel, one of their major sins where they just kept going into idolatry. They kept making those false gods. In fact, in verse 4 it says, they break down the altars of Balaam. Look down, it says, in his presence and the images that were on high above them, he cut down, and the groves and the carved images. How do you get a carved image? You have to make it. They made their own god. I would challenge you tonight, I think sometimes we're guilty of making our own god. Instead of seeking God's face and coming to His Word and letting God define to us who He is, we make up in our mind, well, this is who God is. Why? Because I think it should be this way. And if we're not careful, we don't stop and let God be God. He had to break down the carved images. They had made their own god. They said, hey, you know what? False gods, by the way, reveal man's pride. Man says, I've got a better way than God. I've got a better religion than God. I mean, I can come up with all these different ceremonies and rituals and all these things and man's doings and works and religion, and it doesn't make a bit of difference. And it doesn't do anything. And so he said, look, you know what? Not only am I going to seek God and choose God, But I'm also going to get rid of the false gods. I'm going to get rid of the things in my life that rise up above God. What's the thing that keeps me from doing God's will? That becomes my God. What's the thing that keeps me from doing what I know I ought to do because God said so? That becomes my God. So Josiah said, I'm going to come to this point where I'm going to get rid of the false gods out of the nation of Israel. And then in verse 8, he says, he repaired the house of the Lord. So here's a young king. He's making these wise choices. And boy, he's setting out. He's going down the right path. And then something happens. And by the way, in verse 5, I just want to mention this. It says, and he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. He cleaned some things out. If God's going to use us in our life, you know, there are some things the Word of God says we've got to clean out. There's some sin. There's some things that don't please God we've got to get rid of so God can use us. In fact, the Bible says that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear him. It even hinders our prayer. Man, he's doing a thorough job. He says, I'm going to please God. I'm going to get rid of the false gods. I'm going to clean things up. I want to be pleasing in God's sight. And then something happened. Let's go down to verse 14. And they brought the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. Hilkiah the priest found a book. What book was that? It was the Bible. It was the Word of God. Why was it hidden? Where did it go? People didn't want to hear the Word of God. It was hidden. Really, it was hidden in the house of the Lord. I'd just like to come to church one day and say, hey, folks, guess what? We found a Bible somewhere in a pew. And wow, we had never seen that before, but listen to what this says. It says, and they found the book of the law, the Lord of the law, the Lord given by Moses. I appreciated this testimony Brother Brandon gave. And he said, you know, he's learning the Word of God. Has there ever been a time in your life when you found the book? I mean, you opened up the Word of God and God started speaking to you and you got thirsty. I mean, thirsty to hear the Word of God. I can remember the first time it happened to me. I'd been in church and I was raised, as I said, as a bus kid, and people had brought me to church and I know what all the doctrine was and I'd memorized all the things, but I just decided one night I was going to sit down and read the Bible and ask the Lord to speak to me. Man, He did. He did. He started speaking to me. It got addicted to me. I couldn't put it down. I needed it. I realized that as a Christian, I've got to have a diet of the Word of God. And so they found the book. The priest found the book of the law given to Moses. But look what happened. Go down to verse number 24. They read the book to Josiah. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah. So the first thing Josiah did is he learned to make good choices. The second thing is he realized there was a curse. See, I know that we don't like to talk about the negative, and we probably shouldn't focus on the negative, but the truth is when we disobey God, there's a consequence. And Judah and Israel had gone into sin, and God had brought deliverer after deliverer, and they had gone into sin, and God said, look, I'm glad you found the book, Josiah. There's revival taking place in the land of Israel. But I made some promises back to Moses. I entered a covenant with the nation of Israel. And I said, if you don't walk in my ways, if you turn away from me, I'm going to bring a curse upon this land. I'm going to send you into captivity. I'm going to make slaves out of you. So God said, you know, that's still going to happen. Josiah realized there was a curse. There was a curse in sin. You know, there's all kinds of religious activity that goes on today, and man, you could, I hope you don't, but you can watch TV and man, see people, all kinds of crazy things happening, jumping up and down. God's here, God's here. Every time I read in the Bible where God showed up, the first thing people did was got on their face and said, oh God, I'm a sinner, I need help. God, I'm in trouble. In fact, the day I got saved, the day you got saved, when we realized we were in trouble with God, that we had violated the laws of a holy God and that God was not pleased with us, we made a decision, Lord, I'm not worthy. Without Jesus Christ's blood to atone for my sin, I'll die and go to hell. And when we realized that, our heart made a decision. If you're saved, it made the decision to trust in Jesus and the sacrifice that He made on the cross. And you decided to turn to Him and put your faith and trust to Him. And there's no amount of work that we can do to appease God. That salvation is wholly by grace, through Christ's merit, none of our own. But we realized, hey, I'm in trouble. God's right, and I'm not. Ouch. God's holy, and I'm a sinner. I need help. And so we turn to God and put our faith in Christ Jesus. Well, when the Word of God was read to Josiah, it had an effect on him. His heart was tender. And he said, you know what? We're in trouble. We're in trouble. It says because that God was going to bring a curse. So they found the book that showed him the curse. And I hope you found the book. You know, the Word of God is like a mirror. But it's not like a mirror like we look into when we're getting ready for work. That shows us who we think we are or how we see us. This mirror shows me how God sees me. And there's a big difference. See, if I'm not careful, I'll think, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I mean, I come to church. I read the Bible to my family. You know, I'm doing the things God asked me to do. I'm a pretty good guy. But you know what? When I open up this book and the Holy Spirit starts working and that mirror shows up and I see myself like God does, man, it changes me. I realize the things that aren't pleasing to God. This is what happened to Josiah. Now, he could have stopped and said, you know what? I'm not going to listen to this. I've done everything I'm supposed to do there in verses 1 through 7, and I've gotten rid of the all false. I'm not going to listen to this book. I'm not going to listen to what you have to say. And it would not have done him a bit of good. Well, I mean, it's good for him to hear it. The Bible says that the Word of God is like a hammer breaking a rock in pieces, Jeremiah 23:29. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God is quick. That word quick, it's like the word in Ephesians chapter 2:1. It says, you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. It means made alive. When it says the Word of God is quick, it's saying it's alive. It's living. It's not just words on the page. The Word of God is alive. It's quick and powerful. In other words, it's active. It's effectual. It's doing something. When we're preaching the Word of God, when we're sowing the seed of the Word of God, when we go soul winning and hand out a tract and the Word of God is being communicated, it's powerful. It's doing the work. It's doing the thing that God sent it out to do. The Bible says it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It takes one cut. It goes all the way down to the exact need. The Word of God pierces. It reaches through. Spurgeon said the best evidence that the Bible is the Word of God is found between Genesis and Revelation. Pick it up and read it, and you'll find out that's exactly what it is. It's a sharp sword that pierces down and it reaches the needs. It says, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, it's discerning the thoughts and even the intentions of our heart. When I open up the Word of God and I see myself and I see myself as God sees me, He even shows me what my motives are. If my motives and intentions are pure. That's why we need a steady diet every day. Because you know what? If I don't get this book in here and in here, I'm going to do what David thinks he should do. I'm going to mess up. That's why in Romans 12:1 he says, be ye not... That's one of the verses, the first memory verses I learned, but I'm going to turn over there and read it tonight. I don't want to misquote it. I'm thinking of two verses at once here. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That word is the Greek word metamorpho. It means it's the same word we use for metamorphosis. When the moth goes into a chrysalis and it changes, the worm changes into a moth or into a butterfly. That's the change. It's a change. The Word of God transforms our mind. It gets my mind thinking right again. It corrects my fleshly mind and shows me the spiritual. And so I don't have to, I'm sure we're here on a Sunday night crowd. And you've been told all your life, we need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. I'm just saying, we need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. Boy, Josiah's heart was tender when he decided, when he heard this word, and it had an effect. And this young kid, this young king paid attention to what the book says. And Josiah took the Word of God seriously in his life. I think that maybe we sometimes treat the Word of God sort of nonchalantly because we haven't paid much of a price today to have it. Some of our forefathers went to the stake and were burned in order to have this Word. Some of our forefathers and some of the people in countries right now would be killed for having this book. And maybe it's not so precious to us anymore because it's become commonplace to us. And maybe that's because we're not opening it up and meditating on it, thinking about it, and letting it change us, and letting it move us and do what God wants us to do. I think a lot of the strife and problems in my life have been caused over time just because I was doing what David thought. Instead of staying in the Word and letting God change me. So the book revealed his heart to him, and it revealed the curse. So he made some good choices. He realized there was a curse, and then he rent his clothes. He rent his clothes. Look at verse number 19. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes." Look at verse 27. And it says, because this is the response. He had the priest go inquire of the Lord from a prophet, and here's the Lord's response. "Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes, and weep before me, I have even heard thee, saith the Lord." He rent his clothes. God is going to have mercy and grace on Josiah, and he tells us why. Renting his clothes is just an outward symbol of what had happened on the inside. His heart was tender. Jesus told them, the Pharisees in John 7:17, "He that is willing to do his will, he shall know of a doctrine." He said, Pharisees, the reason you don't believe what I say is not because it doesn't make sense. It's because you're not willing to accept it. You're not willing to obey it. And when I'm not willing to receive the Word of God and take His advice, guess what? It's going to cloud my judgment. Josiah's heart was tender, and he was willing to hear what the Word of God said. And God says, because your heart was tender, and you were willing to receive the Word of God, He says, Josiah, I'm going to have grace on you. You humbled yourself before me. The Bible says his heart was tender, and then he humbled himself before God. The Bible says in James 4:6 that he resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And so he says, not only that, but he wept, and he was sorry for his sin. I wonder when the last time we really wept because of sin in our life. Let's go to James 4. Boy, think about Brother James's, man. He tells it like it is. It hurts sometimes. When I read the book of James, it's very convicting to me. And I need it. But let's go over there and look at chapter 4 and see what he says. Let's pick up there in verse number 6. "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners." Oh, that sounds like Josiah. "You sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." You mean God has had the same requirement all this time? He wants our heart to turn to Him, to be tender, to be willing to receive what He has to say. "And purify your hearts, you double-minded, be afflicted, and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." Sometimes I get discouraged. I think, God, I'm not who I think I should be. I'm not what other people, I perceive other preachers and other Christians. Lord, I wish I was like that. And God has to remind me, and this is one of my memory verses when I pray, it's not up to me to lift myself up or to make myself into something. It's up, what my job is to humble myself before God and let Him do the work. Let Him change my life and make me into what He wants me to be. So he rent his clothes. He made some choices. He cleansed the nation. And he got rid of the carved images. God is going to give Josiah peace in his days, and he's going to spare him from evil. Again, in verse number 27. "Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes, and weep before me, I have even heard thee." God said, you know what? Josiah, you heard me, so I heard you. You know, there's that verse we like to quote a lot in Romans 10:17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That word hearing means I'm listening, not just I heard it with my ears. I can be deaf and hear the Word of God. It means I have the intent to take God's advice. I want to hear what God has to say. God, you're a great, mighty, and holy God, and I adore you and worship you, and you've been so good to me, and I love you, and I humble myself before you. God, I'm ready to hear what you have to say. God said, Josiah, that's how you were. And so you heard me, now I'm hearing you. I'm going to have grace. I'm going to have grace on you. Verse 28, "Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered." Oh, that's interesting right there. "Gather thee to thy fathers." Where are his fathers? His fathers may have died in the flesh, but they're still alive. They're still with God. Because he look at what he says, "And thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace." He's not just talking about where Josiah was buried. I don't believe that's what he's talking about here. I believe he's talking about going home to be with the Lord. And so he says, and I'm not saying that God rewarded Josiah for some type of merit that he offered up to God. I'm not saying that. God had grace. What is grace? It's unmerited favor. It's not something I say, God, am I good enough yet? Will you save me? That's not what Josiah did. Josiah fell on his face and said, God, we're in trouble. We've messed up. I want to hear what you have to say. God said, I can bless that. I can bless that. I can do something with a life, with a heart, with that attitude. And so he said, I'll gather thee to thy grave in peace, to have peace. Jesus said, peace I give unto you, my peace I give to you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Man, the peace that we can have when we walk with God and we're in obedience to His will and we're listening and our hearts are tender and we humble ourselves before God. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place. He said, Josiah, it's true. It's true, Josiah. I'm going to bring Israel down. Israel's not going to make it. Israel's going to cease to exist for a little while. But he said, Josiah, I'm not going to let you see it. I'm not going to let your eyes see the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants. So they brought the king word again. So he rent his clothes and now he's going to have peace. And God rewarded him. In fact, they said there was never a king that turned to God with all their heart like the king Josiah. Just a young boy given a job he could have never done. He could have never done on his own. And he humbled himself before God and said, God help. God help. That's who we are before God. We might as well be honest about it. God didn't choose us because we're great. God chose us in spite of ourselves because He loves us. So that's not all He did. In verse 29, I'm almost done. I'll wrap it up. I know I'm running a little long here. He sent out a command. In chapter 34, verse number 29, it says, Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants. I like that, all the men of Judah. The men took some responsibility and stood up and said, Yep, we're gonna follow our king. We're gonna turn to God like our king says. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, not only that, all the people followed, great and small, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. So he called the elders together and the men together and all the people came. And not only did he rent his clothes, but he sent out a command. He communicated the Word of God. You know, one of the best ways to keep and learn the Word of God is communicating it to someone else. You learn it like you'll never learn it if you teach it. Or you're trying to win your neighbor, or you're trying to win somebody at work, or some lost person maybe in your family. He said, you know what? I'm not just going to keep this to myself. I want all of Israel to turn to God. So he had a burden and desire in his heart, so he communicated the Word of God. And he commanded, not only that, but he then, later on, I'm not going to read it all for time's sake now, he commanded the people. He said, we're going to keep this covenant. We're going to straighten things out. We're going to keep this covenant. I think about Joshua, as he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me, and you know, we go through that whole verse, and at the end he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Ever been a time in your life that you made a command? You say, you know what? My house, we're going to serve God. We're going to do what's right. We're going to follow God and let God bless us and bless our life. And so then, lastly, he entered into a covenant with God. Oh, happy day. Hey, God keeps His covenant. A covenant is sort of like an agreement. He entered into agreement with God. If God promises you something, He's going to keep His end of the promise. I mean, there's no doubt. There's nothing to worry about. God's going to break it. Is God going to not love me anymore? Am I going to lose my salvation? We don't have to worry about all that stuff. The Bible says God, Titus 1:2, cannot lie. He entered into a covenant with God. He said, this is a sure thing. I might be a young man. I might be a young king. And my dad had turned away from God. And Israel's in trouble with God and already went into Syrian captivity. And Judah doesn't look like things are going very well. But you know what? If I enter into a covenant with God, everything's going to be all right. Because God's going to take care of me. Man, the faith that came out of that, that came out of his life, surrendered to God. So tonight, this is just a few of the things that I noticed when I was reading this chapter in the last couple of weeks. God began to speak to my heart about Josiah. He made the right choices. And then he realized the curse. He rent his clothes. He sent out a command. And he entered a covenant with God. Every head bowed and every eye is closed, please. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. And I'd like to ask the musicians to come, please. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been to church, man. You've been drugged to church all your life, maybe. But has there ever been a time when you personally entered a covenant with God? Lord, I'm a sinner. I need your help. Maybe there's never been a time in your life where you said, Lord, I've never been saved. I've never really understood it. I've thought what I think it should be, but Lord, I've never come to you and said, Father, I'm a sinner. And without Christ to save me, I'm going to wind up in hell. I'm not going to make it. If you're like that here tonight, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. I'm going to pray, and in just a moment, when I pray, we'll have the musicians play. We'll sing a verse of invitation. If the Lord speaks to your heart about that, why don't you respond to God? Why don't you take seriously the book tonight? Or maybe you're here and you say, Lord, I haven't ever made the decision in my life. Maybe you're a young person or a kid or a young adult, or maybe even an adult that's lived all your life. I talked to a lady once, 50 years old. She said, for the first time I read my Bible every day. And she said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Look at what all I missed out on all my life, because I didn't faithfully read God's Word. Maybe you've never come to God and said, Lord, my life belongs to you. I want you to have your way in my life. We want to give you a chance to do that. And the way you do that is we're going to pray, have a verse of invitation. If the Lord speaks to your heart, you come. And then I'll turn it over to you, Brother Wiggins here. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for allowing me the time and opportunity to be able to preach your word. And Father, I just pray now that you would take your word, as you always do, and use it for your glory. Lord, if there's someone here who needs to make a decision, I just pray that you would help them, be with them, and to do the right thing. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.